The third annual Rose Exposed returns to the Rose Wagner on August 23rd, featuring works created that day with proceeds going to the Road Home. Visit arttix.org or call 801-355-ARTS.
I'm Dan Nalen, and this is Slug Soundwaves, the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug is an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, and it is one of the oldest independent publications in the United States, distributing free monthly issues about music, art, action, sports, and subculture. In this episode, we talk all about food trucks with resident expert Alex Springer, and we have Mary Brown Maloof from Salt Lake Magazine talking about writing about food in Salt Lake and covering the local scene. We are oh so happy to bring in Slug Magazine senior staff writer Alex Springer. You know the byline from all manner of topics that he writes about. Thank you so much for coming into the studio here, Alex.
It is no problem. Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
We are going to delve into an article that you wrote for the issue that will be hitting the streets in just a few days after this podcast posts out to the interwebs. You went and checked out a bunch of the more prominent slash new slash tasty food trucks that we have to offer. First of all, you know, what's your own background with food trucks? Were they as new to you as they were to Salt Lake City and people like me when they hit the scene here?
Actually, yeah, I think I kind of started to notice them along with everybody else when I'd go to the Twilight Concert Series or the Arts Festival. You just kind of see them pop up. I actually had an opportunity to visit LA recently, and they're all over the place over there. So it's taken off, and I'm glad to see that it's kind of hitting Salt Lake as well, because it's a different experience eating in a food truck.
I love the fact that we are kind of hitting up to a critical mass where you get a lot of diversity in what the food trucks have to offer. I was in LA semi-recently too, and it was freaky. I went to a food truck kind of lineup like we have on Food Truck Thursdays at the Gallivan Center here, and it was just anything you can imagine out of the side of a truck. Some really good stuff, some really cheap and still tasty, but it's pretty amazing. There's even like fine dining kind of price stuff coming out of trucks some places.
For sure, and that's actually kind of what I wanted to look at. I wanted to try to get a pretty wide variety of food trucks for the article, so I think I hit some really great places.
Yeah, too. Let's delve in here. What's one of the highlights?
I'll start with this place called Cup Bop. It's probably been reading about it a lot. I've been seeing some articles that have mentioned it. What makes them awesome is they have a really cool social networking infrastructure there. They're really good with Twitter, Facebook. Yeah. I follow them on Facebook, and I just saw that they're announcing a new flavor to their menu, and they had like a contest, and so like if you entered this contest, you could be the first to try out their new stuff. So,
exclusive samples.
Yes. and so that kind of adds to their cool. Also, if you go see them, the guys there are crazy. They're like, they're just dancing around. If a song comes on the radio, they'll start singing along with it and dancing around. They're super enthusiastic about their food.
And now, are they Korean barbecue? Is that right?
Yeah.
Or is that too simple a way to phrase it?
That's probably a pretty good way to phrase it, because they only have currently about four or five things on the menu.
Okay.
And they're traditional Korean barbecue flavors, like this marinated barbecue pork that's really good, and they do chicken and beef as well. The other thing that's cool about there is that they have this 1 to 10 scale of spiciness, so like you can kind of customize your order.
Nice.
And I really recommend going with at least a 5, like, because it tastes really good too. It's not just hot, it's just they have this kind of spicy mayo and sriracha, and it's really, really good.
Excellent.
So,
and do they have I don't know if as you talk to these different folks, do they have like sort of a usual circuit, or do you kind of have to just follow where they're going via their social media?
Yeah, these guys are all over the place. I think they have even a few different trucks. So I went and saw them at West Fest out in West Valley about a month ago. But if you follow them on Twitter and Facebook, they keep that up to date. So nice. That's the best way to track them down is through social media.
Excellent.
Because they're all over the place, yeah.
All right. And where else did you hit?
The next one was Off the Grid, and this is another really impressive one. They take the idea of a sandwich, but they remove bread and they add waffles to the sandwich. And it is as good as it sounds. Like, if you can imagine this crisp golden brown waffle and they do like pulled pork and barbecue chicken.
Damn.
Yeah, it's amazing. and it's one of those things that you think, why haven't I tried this before? Like, why hasn't anyone else?
Why doesn't everyone do this,
exactly,
right?
Yeah. Exactly. And what I tried there was they have, it's called the Bee's Cheese. And it's made with local cheese. They get their cheese from Beehive Cheese. And it's like a grilled cheese sandwich on waffles.
Ooh.
And it's amazing.
Damn.
Yeah. It's hard to describe. You have to just try it out. And I believe these guys, I think they'll be showing up at Craft Lake City. They usually are there.
Okay. So, nice.
And they're another good one to follow on the website. That's how I tracked them down.
Excellent.
And then the next one was the bento truck, which is
Japanese.
Yes. Very good Japanese comfort food. I caught them at the University of Utah. They seem to be up there around lunchtime for the students, which is awesome because there's always a huge line.
Yep.
And they do really kind of just that traditional Japanese food, like the teriyaki bowls. And I really like their shrimp balls appetizers.
Oh, yeah. I can vouch for both of those. I've
delicious.
Ordered both. I've been to the bento truck. And yeah, that teriyaki bowl is pretty damn good, mm-hmm. too.
And I believe they've even got a storefront opened up from the business they've generated because they've been around for a while.
Yeah, it seemed like they must have had like a regular stop before they started coming up to the U. I work at the U for a day job, by the by. But so they would show up kind of a little bit later than some of the other trucks that set up there, so we kind of figured they must be like working another place for a little while, then they come in, but they're there usually most afternoons, mm-hmm. every day.
Yeah, and that's pretty consistent for them. If you want to check them out, you can typically go up to the
U. Right by the big main library.
Exactly, yeah, they're parked right there. Look for the huge line.
Yeah, that's right.
And then the last one I checked out, this was actually at the Food Truck Thursday that they have at the Gallivan, which I totally recommend if you want to take a look at, because it's sort of a various, they do a different rotation, it seems like. There's a bunch of different ones that come and go. But it was called Grub Truck Food Company, and they sort of specialize in tacos, like tacos from all over the place. They have a Korean taco, a Thai taco, and a Greek taco.
Oh, wow.
And you can get the Three Amigos, they call it, and you can get all three of them, which I recommend doing because it's like...
Combo platter.
Exactly. It's like taking a trip around the world in taco form.
So now, when you say Greek taco, I'm picturing basically like gyro in taco form. Is
that
kind of a
ballpark?
It's
pretty similar. It's like that chicken souvlaki with the cucumber tzatziki sauce on there. And then it's just, instead of like a pita bread or a flatbread, it's just like a tortilla shell. They use like this good blue corn tortilla.
Oh, nice.
It was tasty. And they also do a veggie one with that same sauce.
Oh, cool. Yeah, those Food Truck Thursdays, they're a great chance to see. I mean, you'll see trucks that you've never necessarily even knew existed yet, even if you're kind of on top of it. All of a sudden, a new one will pop up, and you'll be like, what? Oh.
For sure, and that's what I think that there's, it seems like every week or so, there's a new truck there. And so, it's cool to see it taken off in Utah here. We have lots of great little food trucks. And if you feel almost kind of like you're stalking a rock band, like you have to follow them on Twitter to find out where they're going to be.
Right.
And I think that makes it kind of fun, too, because it's like, it makes an event out of it because
this town, those of us who like to go out to rock shows or whatever at night for years, like your options go for late night eats were like D's,
right.
Village Inn, whatever, Beto's.
Uh-huh.
Now it's like there's actual quality food hanging out often right next to the bar.
For sure. Yeah, and a waffle sandwich like right after a concert, that's probably amazing.
That fixes your hangover before you even go to bed. It
exactly.
helps a lot.
It's an absorber.
I encourage that, kids. Get some fat into your belly after drinking all night. It's good for you. Well, that is awesome stuff, Alex. And of course, you all will want to pick up the August issue of Slug and read the article, all the more details that are going to be in there. And of course, you can read his music and video game reviews in Slug every month as well.
Very nice. Yeah, thank you. And that's, I'm looking forward to Craft Lake City as well, checking
out. That's right.
What,
there'll be trucks there.
For sure.
There'll be all kinds of goodness there this month. And do you want to throw out, do you have a Twitter that people can follow you around and stuff?
Sure. Yeah, follow me at Captain Springer, and that's where I kind of throw out all my nerdy little thoughts to the world. So
perfect.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully you'll come share some with us again.
I'd be happy to. Thank you. Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Alex.
Thank you.
Join both Plan B and Pygmalion Theaters, Gina Backhauer, as well as RDT, Ryrie Woodbury, and SB Dance Companies for the third annual Rose Exposed on August 23rd. All six companies will create and perform work that very day, celebrating the theme of home. 100% of this event's ticket sales will go to benefit the road home. For tickets, call 801-355-ARTS or visit arttix.org.
I'm Rebecca.
I'm Danielle.
I'm Crystal.
And I'm Cherry. And if you like your geek news with a bit of a twist, then you'll love
Hello, Sweetie.
Hello, Sweetie podcast brings you the latest and greatest geek news and information from an all-female panel. We'll bring you the most recent information about movies, TV, comic books,
video games, roller derby, pop culture, and more. Subscribe on iTunes and like us on Facebook. For your weekly dose of geek culture from a female perspective, tune in to
Hello, Sweetie!
This is your weekly daily calendar for the week beginning on Tuesday, July 29th and running to August 4th. Yes, we are heading into August on this one, people. Unbelievable, but I'm sure you can tell because it's hot as hell outside this month. I encourage you to go to slugmag.com every day. Scroll down to the bottom, check that calendar. There's always great new listings being added. I found all sorts of goodies this week for all kinds of musical tastes. Let's start on Tuesday, July 29th when Clap Your Hands, Say Yeah are coming back through. Been a couple years since those guys came around. If you're into that indie rock crew, should be a great time seeing him at Urban Lounge. I believe the last time I saw him was at a Twilight Concert Series show, so it'll be much more intimate. Very next night, same venue, Those Darlings, always a great time, playing with Diarrhea Planet, one of the finest names you'll find in a band these days. That'll be a great show at Urban Lounge as well. On Thursday, July 31st, oh my, the Wu-Tang Clan, yes, the infamous Wu-Tang Clan. Long Island crew, a little bit of Jersey thrown in, they're headlining the Twilight Concert Series at Pioneer Park. I've seen them a few times, they have been sporadically great and also sporadically not shown up at all, but I highly recommend you get there in time for opening act Run the Jewels. Killer Mike is part of that duo. They put out a great album last year. They should be a lot of fun. Same night, if you're into meat, hunting, or just being a moron, Ted Nugent is over at the Depot. On Friday, August 1st, it is the alleged Motley Crue farewell tour out of Usana Amphitheater with Alice Cooper opening. I can actually recommend this with a straight face. I've seen Motley Crue a few times. They always put on a ridiculously over-the-top bombastic show. If you can find a screaming deal on some tickets, go get yourself out there to West Valley. Also that weekend, Friday through Sunday, it's the Kimball Arts Festival up in Park City. Always a good time to go wander Main Street, check out some artwork, maybe find a good deal on something cool. Also that night, Friday, August 1st, Lindsay Heath, Zodiac Empire, and Big Wild Things all playing together at the Shred Shed. They will also be at the Urban Lounge on Saturday night, so you have two chances to check out that oh-so-worthwhile bill. Those are both CD release shows for Lindsay Heath, who of course does the theme music for our podcast, and she will be featured on the cover of the August issue that you can pick up in just a few days. On Saturday, August 2nd, the Vans Warped Tour returns. You, your little brothers and sisters, always a good time to go out and just sweat your ass off out there at the Utah State Fair Park to a whole slew of bands, all getting severely underpaid most likely, but having a great time touring the United States. On Sunday, August 3rd, Brothers Comatose, they've been through a few times lately. They're playing a free show up at Snow Basin up above Ogden. They have a really great lineup of free music this year. I suggest you Google the Snow Basin Summer Concert Series. That same day, Taste of the Wasatch is up at Solitude Resort, a little closer to Salt Lake City. That's an amazing event where local restaurants come together. You get to sample a whole lot of food for about $50-$75, and it all goes to support homeless outreach in Utah. Also that night, John Hiatt and Taj Mahal bring a bit of blues and classic rock to the Red Butte Garden. That is your weekly daily calendar for the week of July 29th through August 4th. As I mentioned, go hit up that calendar every day at slugmag.com. You can add your own listings for free or for a mere $5 a month. $50 a year, you can add some links to your own content.
It's the Vans Warped Tour 2014, presented by Journeys. Saturday, August 2nd at Utah State Fair Park. Featuring Yellow Car, Falling in Reverse, The Somerset, Amberlin, We the Kings, Of Mice and Men, The Story So Far, Less Than Jake, and many more. Tickets at all Smith's Tix outlets, smithstix.com, or by phone at 801-467-TIXX. Produced by United Concerts.
We are extremely pleased to bring one of my best buddies here into the studio, Mary Brown Maloof, who is the, well, what, editor-in-chief slash...
Yeah.
The food
janitor,
editor.
Food editor. Yes.
She sweeps up at
editor.
Salt Lake Magazine.
Yeah.
Mary and I have worked together at both the Salt Lake Tribune and at Salt Lake Magazine over the years. And now we just kind of socialize and have cocktails and things like that every once in a while.
Red Butte buddies.
That's right. So first, thank you for coming into our underground lair to talk a little bit about the food scene and covering food in Utah.
Oh, yeah, I'm so happy to be here in your underground lair. It's a great day to have an underground lair, considering what it's like outside.
That's
it's
right.
Cool and lovely in here.
We'll have you back in the winter when it's a little less welcoming temperature-wise. But
First, why don't we just start with a little bit of your own background. So people in Utah, of course, know you as a food writer whose name has popped up across medium here. What kind of things got you kind of into the food biz, you know, looking backwards before you were ever even in Utah?
Well, of course, I like to say that the reason I'm in the food writing business is because I have a Latin degree. Because I feel like that if people think they have to have a Latin degree to write about food, it'll knock out some of those bloggers who are always breathing down my neck.
Far too many of those.
But I grew up in a extremely food-centric family. My brother and sister and I all got liberal arts degrees. I actually do have a Latin degree. My sister's now a chef and my brother's a wine merchant, British history and philosophy, respectively. So we all ended up in kitchens. And
combining great conversation and food. And into
exactly. Into a lifelong philosophy, right?
There you go.
So, almost a religion. I started out where you start out, chopping onions. You know, I knew how to cook at home, and I got a job when I got my first divorce, working in a kitchen and chopping vegetables and making, you know, the prep list would say things like, make 500 mushroom tarts for tomorrow. And I would go in and do that. And so I went from there into food writing and food styling and
how difficult was it to just kind of take real life experience and your own interest and actually get jobs writing where people are actually not only paying you, but, you know, willing to put your opinion out there to the world.
Right. I know. I was shocked at my good fortune. I started out in the kitchen. I did a lot of food styling because I kind of have an artsy bent. Then the magazines would get me to style the food for their photography, and eventually they said, do you think you can write about this food? And I was like, well, of course I can.
Who could? No.
So I wrote one trial article for a magazine in Dallas, and they called me back and said, will you come on staff?
Whoa.
And started reviewing there, and I sort of never
looked
back.
That's like going straight from like high school ball to the majors, people. Staff job from one writing sample?
And at the time, those kind of jobs had insurance, too.
Amazing, right? Yeah, amazing. So, okay, let's flash forward to, you've been in Utah, what, 10 years-ish?
10 years. I first moved out here when everybody else did at the Olympics after the dot-com crashed. I was working for wine.com in Sonoma, California, and I never, ever would have left if the whole thing hadn't imploded, despite my beloved husband.
They still do have wine there,
here's
I gather,
here.
But
yes.
The job's not so much.
Moved out here, did a little freelancing, actually wrote an article about Hell's Backbone Grill, the first one that was written in any larger publication. Yeah. For the Salt Lake Tribune as a freelancer, and then Jay Shelody hired me as a sort of independent whatever writer. I was there for a couple
all
of years.
All sorts of subject matter writer,
right?
Not
right, religious
food.
Architecture, right. All kinds of. In fact,
Rainbow Gatherings.
I wrote an article. I did write about the Rainbow Gathering. I also wrote about blogs. Uh-huh. I pitched a story to the Salt Lake Tribune and said, "Have you ever heard of blogs?" And they were like, "What?" And I told them what blogs were and did some research.
And 2 years later, they forced every reporter to start one for
exactly,
no extra pay.
Exactly. No. That's not a joke.
It's true.
Anyway, so I did that. Then I moved back to Texas to take a food marketing job with Central Market, which is one of the larger, probably the largest group of really high-end gourmet stores, and learned a lot there. They flew me to France and Italy and stuff to taste things and write about things. But I wanted to come back to Utah because, after all, my spouse was here.
Yes.
Finally.
That's a good reason, I guess.
Finally, Jeremy Pugh over at Salt Lake Magazine offered me a job, and I fled back to Utah.
So let me ask you this. As someone coming into Utah with a steep background and all that knowledge you're talking about, what was your kind of first impression looking at kind of the landscape as a whole, food scene-wise, back, you know, 10 years ago when we're
right.
talking about?
When I first came here, it was bleak.
Yeah.
It was just bleak. There, gastronomy still had the assortment of restaurants, and it wasn't all seafood. Bambera, I think Scott Blackerby was there, and I had known him as a chef in Dallas. He had been with Anatole down there. So there were really very few bright spots. I remember going to the Dodo, which was everybody's favorite.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you say artichoke pie? But after I went to Texas and then came back, things had picked up quite a bit here. The local food movement had gotten started. That it's completely a national and even international deal, the whole slow food and backyard grown and sustainably raised food. But in Utah, it really hooked on. And I think it's because this is a community that reveres farmers historically, even though we don't do that much. The LDS culture that was already here really supports that kind of self-sufficiency as an ideal. And everybody gardens. So the idea of local food as a trend, it just immediately grew deep roots here.
Perfectly. Yeah.
And inspired some amazing, not only chefs, but food producers. So it was really a great time to come here as a food writer when I moved back and did it full time for the magazine.
Now that you talk about it like that, it makes perfect sense to see like where the downtown farmers market has gone over the last 10 years from like one row on one side of Pioneer Park to this insanely huge thing.
Absolutely. And the foraging here, the mushroom foraging and the wild food collection, all that kind of stuff has just taken off in a way here. And I mean, that's why recent publications like Wine Enthusiasts, Salt Lake has been named one of the rising top five food cities in the country, which would have been a joke 10 years ago.
Yeah, it would have been an Onion headline instead of an actual headline.
Exactly. We used to joke at wine.com that you couldn't even fly, our wine over Utah,
Well, and it's really, I was talking to someone today about, you know, the craft beer and liquor business has also been blossoming. I mean, beer, we've always had microbreweries. Now we have far more than 10 years ago.
Oh, right.
And all of these boutique distilleries that we're now getting.
Right.
That obviously that's happening a lot of places, but you would have never thought that was a possibility
in Utah.
You would
have never thought it would happen
legally,
in Utah.
Legally, culturally, any of that.
No,
you know?
But the fact is that the food business means beverages too.
Right.
And so that's going to grow in every direction as well. I mean, we're not there with wine. What can I say?
That could be a tough road to hoe,
right?
Yeah.
But because we'll always have to import grapes. But it's, you know, this morning, tasting those entries from the three chefs to be who decide who was going to represent Utah in the Great American Seafood Cook-Off, which sounds like a joke. Again, another Onion headline.
Yeah.
Governor Jindal invites Gary Herbert to compete in a seafood cooking contest.
That's right.
Yeah, I don't think so.
The Great Salt Lake, sure. Yeah,
right.
Sure. But it's
it requires that you use a local sustainable fish. They all cooked Kusharum trout, which is a remarkable local resource. Briar Handley, Clement Helas, and Felix Gardner from Handel and Talisker on Main and Pago, respectively, just cooked the hell out of that fish.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
It was amazing.
It's not
the
just
dishes.
A trout in a pan kind
no,
of style.
No, it was beautiful and remarkable fish. And everything that they was accompanied with, from the quail eggs to the nasturtium leaves to the handmade sausage and the hand-cured trout roe that they garnish with. You know, just an amazing range of skills, kitchen skills and talent and taste imagination.
Yeah.
So
why don't we wind up with this? I mean, we're in 2014.
Here we are.
What do you see sort of either what's great and new that people can partake in, or do you see something kind of coming down the pike from, you know, maybe some surrounding areas that haven't quite reached Utah yet that we can kind of keep an eye out for, anything like that? Or just what's great this summer in Salt Lake City?
I honestly just think more of the same, more of the same, more of the same. We're still at the point where we sort of have one each of different kinds of restaurants. You
right.
know, we've got, now we have two Spanish restaurants. You know, we've got Finca and Cafe Madrid.
Yeah,
but a healthy restaurant community should have tons of that stuff. And so, and lots of competition and lots of cross-pollination and stuff. So I think that, one, all the restaurateurs here need to accept that more restaurants is better for them.
Right.
It's not,
a threat
direct
all
competition.
The time. Right,
right. That we, the more of us, the merrier. And that's on a national front because I do a lot with national publications and we're still a flyover.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, they go to Vegas. They don't come here for the food. And that's, we need density of great restaurants for that.
That's right.
We're getting them. You know, Copper Onion's opening another place, Ryan Lauder, all that stuff.
Right.
Scott Evans at
Pago's
opening, just bought that building. The other thing that is really critical at this point in Utah restaurant dining is that service has not caught up with food. We still have really super amateur service.
Yeah.
And we've got to get some people,
not quite
get some training people,
right? Yeah.
Get out there and teach those kids how to wait tables, please.
Because how to push the wine.
How to even understand the wine. How not to say, oh, I don't eat that, so I don't know if it's good.
I hear that it's good.
Someone told me. So I think the service aspect is a long way to go to catch up with the food here.
Hopefully it'll get there.
I'm sure it will.
Well, Mary, thank you so much for coming in. We can find your writing, of course, in every issue of Salt Lake Magazine, but online at saltlakemagazine.com.
Right. I have a blog on the table, which is
news reviews,
and my two cents.
That's right.
Which is really worth a quarter, right?
That's right.
So, yeah. So
perfect.
Check it out.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Slug Soundwaves, and for all things Slug Magazine, be sure to visit us online at slugmag.com. We got Craft Lake City coming up in a couple weeks, and we'd like to hear what you're most excited to see, whether it's some of the art, a little bit of music, the science and tech building goodies, or anything else you've enjoyed in the past. Send us an email at soundwaves@slugmag.com, or hit us up on Twitter @SlugSoundwaves, or on Facebook at facebook.com/SlugSoundwaves. We just might bring up your suggestion on the show. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and produced by Gavin Sheehan. The associate producers are Alexander Ortega, Genevieve Smith, and myself, Dan Nalen. The executive producer is Angela H. Brown. The theme was performed by Lindsay Heath and Mike Sasich. Main logo and art design is by Nicholas Dowd, and the technical design by Kate Colgan. Next week, we'll have Slug Magazine's Alex Ortega giving us his music choices for Craft Lake City.